Good morning. Can you all hear me?
Hello.
Okay. So this talk is about identity, as Alison said earlier. So we're talking about identity of Jesus the Messiah, but also ourselves and our identity in the Universal Church. But firstly, a bit of an easier quiz. Can we have some pictures up, please? So can you tell me who this is, anybody? Oh, right at the back there. The Queen, well done. And the next one. Oh, go for it, Carsten. Well done, Will Smith. And the last one. Anyone else? Do you know Morton? John Waves, of course. Thank you very much. So, how did we recognise these people? What did we use? Our eyes, yes. That's most of the time we can recognise people we know through our eyes. How else do we recognise people? Voice, yes. What do you mean by voice, Kim? So we can, and it might be things like singing. I was thinking of Libby when I was doing this. I can hear her singing sometimes. I know she's close by. Any other form of being able to recognise somebody? Smell. Excellent. Good smells, bad smells? Any idea? Yeah. So maybe a perfume. Yeah, okay. Or some cooking. You might recognise somebody smelling their cooking. Touch. That's a good one. Yes. If you're asleep, somebody might, you might be able to touch them, do you think? Recognise who it is? What were you thinking of? Stroke your mum's chin and you know that it's your mum. You know the shape of her face. Good one. Didn't think of touch. Very good. So when Jesus asked his disciples the question, very important question, who do you say that I am? Peter replied, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But he didn't use his eyes. He used his heart. So Peter recognised Jesus as God's son through what he felt. And God put those words in his mind and in his heart. So God gives us the ability to recognise people through love. Peter used the word Messiah. Does anybody know what the word Messiah means? So it's somebody that's expected, someone who comes to fulfil a promise, to bring God's love to each and every one of us. So, a bit more of the background as to where this all took place. Can we have the other slide, please, Nigel? So, I can never remember how to pronounce this. Caesarea Philippi. Excellent. I was looking online. How does this pronounce? Caesarea Philippi. Why is that so important, you may ask? Well, this place was full of idol worship, and it was built by a man named Philippi to worship the Roman Empire as well. And there was about 12 or 14 false idols here. And also in the background, you might be able to see a cave. And that was a cave of the goddess Pan, or God Pan, which was the Greek god of music. It was also a place where they believed that Hades or hell might have been entered to, because they didn't like caves in those days. They thought that was a gateway to the underworld. So quite a hostile, volatile place that Jesus decided to ask this question, and where God put his voice into Jesus' heart to answer. So in the middle of all of this also was the big temple in the middle, which was the worshipping of the Roman Empire. So quite a difficult question to ask then of everybody, and also of us today, because Jesus still asks us that same question, who do you say that I am? And maybe we're not in that sort of place where there's lots of physical false idols and worship, but we have got those temptations and places near us and places we'd rather go, not come to church maybe, where we're still being torn back, and it's hard for us to confess our faith sometimes. And in this day and age, very much so. They didn't want to talk about it too much, and Jesus understood that. So the correct answer, of course, that Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This was so in contrast to what the disciples thought and what the people thought the Messiah was going to be. The Messiah or Christ being the chosen one appointed by God for a specific purpose, to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Not the Messiah that they thought was coming, the warrior king, the person that was going to conquer the world, defeat all the enemies. They thought he was going to be a geopolitical leader as well. But in verse 20, he sternly orders his disciples, "Do not tell people this, that I am the servant king. I'm going to suffer and die for sin." Because at that time, that wasn't quite the right timing to have that spread around the world. So he asked Peter and the others to remain silent. That's not the case today, of course. We need to be proclaiming that. And that's our identity as Christians. So Peter had the right words, but a bit of a misunderstanding. What other words do we call Jesus, Christ the Messiah? What other words do we have? Saviour, Emmanuel, the light, brother, rabbi. So Saviour, that means that he alone is responsible for the cancelling of our sins. What about Lord? That's heard often, isn't it? That means we're his servants. If he is Lord, we are his slaves. Creator, that's another good one. But that means he could create everything, even our enemies. He can create love, but also hate, which is hard to understand. So there's all of these words, but Messiah, also correct. So I'm going to ask for some helpers now, looking for Alex and boys if you want to help as well. I'm going to keep a few bits back. Can you help hand out a piece of Duplo to everybody that would like one? Children, adults. And as you're handing them out, I'm going to carry on the talk a bit. So you grab a handful. Or walk down the aisle and people can grab a handful. So I'll leave those ones there for now, boys. Thank you. Oh, that's okay. You can sit down after a seat. So when Jesus revealed that it was the, he said to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." So that means that it was the Spirit that calls us into the church. I didn't realise how noisy this was going to be. Shall I wait a minute? Distraction, sorry. So going into our identity then. So we are here today because God has called us here. God has given us the power to believe. And the Holy Spirit has opened our minds to see and know who Jesus is. And when we know this and we know who Jesus is, the Holy Spirit calls us into a community called the church. So when we repeat the words of the Apostles' Creed and we say we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, that means we're part of the universal church of all who believe. So when we believe and we're in this community, we have a new name, Christians. But we also have a new identity, a child of God, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, a living stone in the church. So Peter made this bold confession and knew who Jesus was. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living Christ." And Jesus then gave him a nickname. What was his nickname? Petros, or Peter, which means rock. And he said, "I will call you rock because your faith is so solid." And then he went on to say, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And this building of the church has gone generation after generation for about 2,000 years, of course. And each person's become a living stone in this building as they've confessed Jesus as Lord. We think of all the great saints in the past. Mother Teresa, John Wesley, all the St. Paul, St. John. But we stand there too now, a living stone in the church. So I'm going to start building my stones. So there's Peter, first one. Have that as Mother Teresa maybe, another saint. We'll start building this up in a minute. So you've all got a block in your hands. So this is about a few blocks. 4 or 5, that's fine. So these are to represent you and your identity in the living church, part of the body of Christ. You may feel you're quite a small part of the church. We're all different colours, different sizes, different shapes. Just to represent how different we all are, but we're all part of the same living stone of the church. This block could also represent the times we fail to witness our faith, to confess our belief in Jesus as the Messiah. Peter also denied knowing Jesus, and Jesus remembers this, and we may have also done the same. Jesus understands that also in this day we're surrounded by other temptations and other false idols, but he still loves us. So, should we start putting all these blocks together? And I was thinking, if we all work to the middle by attaching all your blocks in a sort of tower shape, and then a couple of helpers can collect them in, and we can, and Alex can maybe coordinate. Excellent. Good luck. You can move them around. Shall I start collecting them in as well? You can start collecting them if you want, Carsten. Oh, that's a good tower. Well done. Oh. Oh, well done. Can I just show a picture of where Alex did a much better job at this yesterday at the Science Museum? The next picture up on the screen, if that's all right, Nigel. This is good timing, actually. The blocks are a bit bigger, admittedly, and he had a few friends to help. But yeah, well done, James. Excellent. I think we're almost there, are we?
Yeah, pretty much.
Excellent. Thanks, boys.
Right, back to your seat.
Back to your seat. Lovely. Brilliant. What a colourful church we've built. Put it on. Thank you. Right, you can sit down. Excellent. Thank you for your help. So, do you want to finish with a short prayer? Dear Lord, we thank you that you are a living God and that we have an identity as a child of God, as Christians, as living stones in the church. Amen.